A lot of you remember, hopefully you've still got these at home. January 2008, we made these and we gave them out to everybody, and they were to represent the prayer stones that the priests had. And it was just to encourage you to know that you are all peculiar. Do you remember that? Do you remember you're all peculiar? In the sense of something special and different and belonging exclusively to someone or something. And it came from 1 Peter 2:9. I'm going to read it out again. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special, or in the King James, peculiar people, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. For once, you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We are, collectively, a people, church. We are distinctive. We are royal. We carry authority. We are a priesthood. We stand in the gap between the people who have not yet received mercy and the God who is just dying to give people mercy. We are in the light, and we are called to pray for those who are still stumbling around in the dark. In Psalm 126, it talks about sowing with tears. It's as if the tears water the ground, and when we pray, we're watering the ground so we can reap with joy. And I believe the Lord is saying, this is a season of prayer. We have had a vision, but we are only just now ready to implement it, but I don't think that's a coincidence, of prayer walking Marlow, to pray over every home and street and put a card with our name in it through every door. And this is sowing. And Jesus had quite a lot to say about sowing. In the parable of the sower especially, it's recorded with his explanation of the story for the disciples in all three of the Gospels of Matthew, Mark and Luke. I'm going to read it from Luke 8, 5, 9 and 11, 15 if you want to read along with me. Okay. The sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into the good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples began questioning him as to what this parable meant. And he carries on and it says, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. But these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and then in time of temptation they fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and the pleasures of life, and they bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. The seed that falls by the road or the path gets trodden on, or the path, I should probably say, gets trodden on. The word used here can describe an action of trampling on something to show disdain. The issue with these people is that they have been rejected and abused. Their hardness, when you get hardness in people like that, it's very often a self-defense, isn't it? They need to let go of or be healed from the issues of their past. Prayer, as we sow, can guard the seed. Even while it's only on the hard surface of these people's lives, pray that as we distribute these cards, they will be protected, not just binned without being read. If you're in touch with people like this in your neighbourhood, pray the devil will back off as the seeds, the words you have spoken, the mercy you have shown, penetrates their lives, penetrates that ground. The seed that falls on stony ground shrivels up as soon as any difficulties arise. In the Old King James Bible it says, by and by he is offended. Many of us know people who really enjoyed getting to know Jesus and coming to church, but then maybe they heard something they didn't like, or they saw something, or they were challenged about something in their lives, and they took offence. They really just wanted to be happy, but they didn't want to make the effort to put down roots and really grow. There's always something to criticise in church. That's life, isn't it? There's always other arguments that will raise themselves against the knowledge of God. Pray Ephesians 3:16 for these people, that they would be strengthened in their inner man, that they will be rooted and grounded in love. The seed that falls on thorny ground does start to grow, but it's choked out by all the weeds in the person's life. The cares, anxieties, worries, or just distractions, good can be the worst enemy of best. We are mostly full of good intentions, but we can be deceived. We need discernment, or we can be tending weeds rather than the fruitful plants, and then nothing comes to maturity. We start stuff, but we don't see any fruit from it. I've gone from them to us, you might have noticed. I kind of identify more with the last group, I think. Probably some other people do too. But we can be weeding in our prayers. Ask the Lord to show you the thorns in people's lives, the strongholds over the areas that you're praying for. There may be sin that gives the enemy a foothold. Ask the Lord for forgiveness and mercy in these situations and healing of hurts. Ask the Lord for specific verses to pray over certain streets or houses. If you feel particularly prompted, you can be walking down a street and you can be praying and you can, you know, listen to the Lord. If there's a specific establishment we want to see gone, a New Age shop or something like that, pray for blindness to fall from the proprietor's and the customer's eyes. Remember, we are fighting principalities and powers, not people. Thank you for that, yeah. Ask the Lord for his purpose and redemptive plan for your neighbourhood or the area you are praying for. It's good to do this in a group or in a pair. This is a battle that we're in. It was a very good reading. This is a battle that we're in, and we there will be an element of spiritual warfare. And so it's good to do it in a group or in a pair. You can pray for each other as well before you start. A big issue as we pray for our town or our neighbourhoods or hurting individuals or even our own families is authority. Luke 4:6, and the devil said to him, this was Jesus, as the devil showed him all the countries of the earth, all this authority I will give to you and their glory. We want that as well, don't we? We want their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. The devil did have this authority. He had got it by deceiving Adam and Eve, but Jesus won it back on the cross. In 1 John 3:8 it says, the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. And in Matthew 28:18 it said, Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And Jesus passed the authority over the earth back to us. In Luke 9:1, he called the 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. In Luke 10:9, to the 70 that he was sending out, he said, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. The spirits are subject to you. In Mark 16:17, he said, these signs will accompany those who believe. That's us. We all believe, don't we? In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Power and authority are not the same thing. Power is might, strength and force. But authority is the right to do something. For instance, holding the keys to bind and loose. As it says in Matthew 16:19, Jesus said, I will give you the keys of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Jesus' defeat of the devil was a legal breaking of his authority on earth. But the devil still has power, and he's a liar, a thief, and a lawbreaker. And he will still use that power through his demonic servants when he can get away with it. Authority is a big issue. Satan and his servants have power and abilities, but we have been given authority to thwart him. But authority is not the only issue. We need to be led by the Spirit. We need discernment. Remember that verse that Kristen always translates a bit different to the usual? The Forster translation of Romans 8:28. For God can work together with those who love him to bring good things out of all situations. We often stress the point that God isn't causing horrible things to happen so that he can bring good things out of them. But today I want to stress the working together with God bit. We can get into trouble if we try and wield authority and we haven't spent time praying. God's ways can be different from our good ideas. Having said that, I know from my own experience that the Lord can be gracious and cover our mistakes. But let's not waste time doing that. We have got the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. I know I need to be a better listener. Let's make that a distinctive of this season of prayer in River and in Marlow. This is a season of prayer. It's not an accident that we have the 24-4 prayer at Windsor Hall and the prayer walking starting here and the Riverwide prayer meeting on Thursday evening at Desborough. I really feel this is a word from God for us. This is a season of prayer, church. And I would encourage you all to seek the Lord as to what he would have you do. Some people want to pray outside businesses or schools, like John, wanting to pray before the men's breakfast outside those businesses. Restaurants. If you feel called to a particular aspect of community life, see John Richards or put your name down. Pete's got a sheet that he will show you later. He's not here this morning, but that's where he feels led to lead that through. A few years ago, I know Liz Challish, most of you will know her, felt led to pray for the shops in Cookham. She actually went in the shops, gave them the card, and she asked them what they wanted, if they wanted any prayer for anything. And the response was amazing. It was really positive. Yes, they did want prayer. And, you know, people do. People actually normally aren't offended if you say, I want to pray for you. What can I pray about? Don't put effort into cultivating weeds. Be led by the Spirit. And sow to the Spirit. In Galatians 6, 7 and 8 it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. We don't want our efforts to count to nothing, to be unfruitful. We want what we sow to have eternal consequences. And Linda was praying earlier in the prayer meeting. We may not see instant results, but we can know that what we're praying is having eternal consequences. We want to see people come to Jesus. We want to see them be living the fruitful, abundant life that he has for them. Our unity is very important in all this. In Psalm 133, David tells us that where brothers dwell together in unity, the Lord commands a blessing. Well, we want to be spreading blessing, don't we? In John 17:21, Jesus prays that we will all be one so that the world may believe that you sent me. Our unity affects our witness. In Matthew 18:19, Jesus tells us that if two or three of us are together in agreement, we will see answers to prayer and he will be present with us. We are pursuing the presence of God above all else, really, in River. The more unity and agreement in our hearts, the more the Lord will reveal his presence to us. The Holy Spirit dwells in us all, and he never disagrees with himself. So that's why Paul tells us to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's Ephesians 4:3. We can disrupt the unity, the peace that the Spirit brings to us, if we don't stick close to the Spirit's leading, if we don't value it, treat it with care. It's not about being quick to take offence. It's about extending grace to one another. And, of course, the unity of the churches across Marlow is very important. Another area to pray into. Actually, most of the churches across Marlow work together really well, which is great. Pete goes to a minister's meeting once a month, and Churches Together in Marlow is an important group. Hope in the Park is a brilliant expression of unified Christian life in Marlow, and we are planning to do it again next year. All right. Good ground involves honesty and perseverance. Bearing fruit involves patience. Luke 8:15, I'll read it again. But the seed in the good soil, those are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Prayer walking isn't an upfront, exciting thing to do. It's not. I'm not going to pretend it is. It can feel like hard work. There's not a lot of razzmatazz usually attached to going out prayer walking. But the results can be amazing and edifying. I'm going to tell you a story now. When Pete and I became Christians, we knew that we had to go and tell my dad. My parents, you know, were divorced, and my dad was still in Birmingham. We were not looking forward to doing this because my mom had got religion, and that had been, you know, like, oh dear. And it was a bit of a source of jokes in the family. And we knew that they would be appalled that Pete and I had kind of got this organised brainwashing as they basically saw Christianity. So we went for the weekend, and we spilled the beans, and we spent all weekend arguing. And we left them with some books. I left my dad C.S. Lewis, Mere Christianity, which is an absolutely brilliant book, those of you who have read it will know. And They Speak With Other Tongues, which is a book about the 70s revival. It's hilarious. I left that for my dad's wife. They read the books and the Bible. And by the next Sunday, unknown to us, they decided that they had enough respect for Pete, in my opinion. They thought, well, they're not that daft. Maybe we'll give church one chance. We'll go once. So there was a church, like an ordinary Anglican church building, at the end of their street. So they decided to go to the evening service. But what none of us knew was that that church had been prayer walking that area. And they had prayed down my dad and Gracie's street that week. And they had invited an evangelist to speak at that very service that they went to that night. Our phone rang at 10 o'clock that night, and it was my dad in tears on the phone. And I just knew. I knew straight away what had happened. And they'd both given their lives to the Lord. So, oh, and then my dad actually a few months later led the next door neighbour to the Lord as well. So, fruitful prayer walking. People who loved God were doing what he led them to do, and he was able to bring good out of it. I know that many of you pray around your neighbourhoods already. But please collect a pile of cards and get together in pairs or groups, and let's get deliberate about it. As we walk and we pray, we want to change the spiritual atmosphere over Marlow. We want to walk in that authority that the Lord's given us. And we can raise Jesus' name like a banner over this town. So, yeah, let's just do it.